All right, Sean Sullivan is joining us from the Washington Post. Thank you. Democracy Dies in Darkness. I love that, by the way.
That's subheading.
Yeah, something that really gets your attention now, buddy.
When you go on the app
and that thing pops up and you hit the Washington Post, look out! That's something right there. All right, the other big story on Capitol Hill, other than the Comey and Rogers hearings today, is that Neil Gorsuch is sitting in his the confirmation of Neil Gorsuch began today in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee. And not a whole lot happened today, though, but at least it was the opening salvo here. You see where he's going to be attacked from. Is that right, Sean?
Yeah, you're right. Today was just sort of a preview of some of the battle lines that we're going to see tomorrow. What we saw today was every member of the committee, every senator, Democrat, Republican alike, give their opening statement. And then we heard Judge Gorsuch give his opening statement. There was no back and forth. There was no questioning. There was no, you know, but didn't you say this? But didn't that happen? So it was sort of a cordial, traditional opening to these Supreme Court hearings. Tomorrow is really, really going to be the big day when he's going to take a lot of intense questioning from Democrats on a few fronts, which they previewed in their opening statements today.
Yep. We even saw Senator Durbin say, you know, what will you do when called to stand up to this president? Like, he was giving interviews, Senator Durbin was, talking about how you'll have your hands full in those situations. Gorsuch seems, I mean, he knows what he's going to be asked. He even said this is a role that's not about politics in his statement, and seems prepared to talk about independence and integrity in this role.
Yeah, and you mentioned Durbin. He was one of the toughest on the judge today in his opening statement, voicing a number of concerns. There are really two main things that Judge Gorsuch is going to have to overcome if he wants to get Democratic support, which he needs if he is going to be able to pass out of the Senate. One is to demonstrate, as you mentioned, that he is going to be somebody who's independent from President Trump, that is not, you know, weighed down by or swayed by or pressured by any of his agenda items, that he's truly going to be somebody who's, you know, completely independent from the executive branch. And I think the second thing is Democrats are really trying to kind of portray him as somebody who in his career has, you know, not looked out for everyday Americans, has sided with big corporations, big companies. A number of them mentioned this famous case involving a trucker that, you know, they think is evidence that he is somebody who doesn't look out for everyday people. So he's going to need to overcome that narrative tomorrow, because Democrats are clearly going to try to cast him as a champion of the rich, the powerful, the wealthy, and not, your everyday person. So those are the things he's going to have to overcome if he's going to do well in these hearings the next day or so.
You know, it's really interesting. I think this is fascinating, because this is the last of the big nominees that you're going to see going up on Capitol Hill until there's another, I would assume, another major cabinet position that comes available, or there's another Supreme Court position that becomes available. And right now, he's sort of at the end of the first line, but at the end of the first line begins a new era in these people who are going up to be questioned, and that is that they're dealing with the post-tweet era of Donald Trump, mm-hmm. which is that Donald Trump's credibility now as a decision maker is really in question, because of the, you know, it's going to come out. It's clearly coming out now that, you know, the tweet thing was the wiretap thing was an overstatement at best. The president now is, you know, sort of on a roll of misrepresenting things. And so these nominees are going to be called to account for the guy who selected them, even though they really have, I mean, you know, Neil Gorsuch and Donald Trump didn't know each other before this, right? Mm-hmm. But all these guys are going to be asked to account for it, which I think is going to be kind of fascinating. And you already saw that in some of the, like Dick Durbin today said, you know, Sean Spicer, or no, I'm sorry, Ranch Priebus, mm-hmm. the chief of staff, said, you are going to represent all the views of Donald Trump. You're going to be like Donald Trump Jr. And, you know, it's like, wait, what? Whoa. What?
That's not too independent.
Right. So you saw that happen.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And that's something we've seen in almost all, if not all, of the cabinet confirmation hearings, and even some of the, you know, lower profile confirmation hearings. The questions are basically, look, Trump said this, he tweeted this, he said this in this interview. Why is that not inconsistent? Why is that not, you know, something that you stand by? And it's created some awkwardness. There have been a lot of attempts by a lot of these cabinet nominees to separate themselves from Trump. Sometimes it goes over smoothly, sometimes it doesn't. I'm thinking of, you know, someone like Nikki Haley, whose views on foreign policy and Russia in particular are different than Donald Trump's. And in her confirmation hearing, you know, to be ambassador to the United Nations, she did not hold back at all and said, look, I disagree on this thing, and it's not a bad thing to have disagreement within the administration. I think when we look at Gorsuch tomorrow, I would expect to hear, you know, a lot of kind of no comment things, a lot of pivoting to look, you know, I don't speak for the executive branch. I'm not going to be a member of the executive branch. Here's what I think. If you guys want to know what I think, here's what I think. And so I think he has a little bit more breathing room than, you know, Trump's nominee to be, you know, say Secretary of State or Attorney General. Those people had, but it's not going to stop the questions. You're right. I mean, we're going to have this on live midday tomorrow on all the cable networks. And these Democratic senators are going to be pointing out things that Trump has said and done and are going to say to him, look, you know, how do you respond to this? And also, you know, how would you hold him accountable? Because if you look at something like the travel ban, even Trump's revised travel ban has been held up in court right now. And a lot of Democrats, I think, are eager to hear what Gorsuch thinks of that ban from a judicial perspective. So will he be willing to even opine on that ongoing case? We don't know. But, you know, it is definitely one of the chief dynamics, I think, to watch tomorrow is, you know, how he deals with all those questions about what Trump has said and done.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, and I want to, before I let you go, Sean, I do need to know this, because all of us here have been interchanging Gorsuch and Gorsuch. Do
yes,
we have
please.
Any idea?
Help us.
Now that you are sitting there and you have to be in that room and watch this for the Washington Post, do we know how to pronounce his last name?
Once and for all.
You know, I've always said Gorsuch, and I think that's right. However, I think there's still some debate about this, and Senator Flake made a joke about this when he said he was giving a speech recently, and somebody put the name Gorsuch in his teleprompter, and they changed it to Grouch, because that's what spell check changes it to. So, you know, there is some debate, but he should be able to end all the debates. I said Gorsuch. If I'm wrong, I'll immediately start saying.
Yeah. I don't know what to. I don't know where to go either.
Both ways.
I'm going both ways.
I
alternate evenly now until we finally get some sort of confirmation tomorrow.
Sort
I'm hoping
blend the two of them.
If anything comes out of the confirmation hearing, it's the confirmation of the pronunciation of
his
name.
We need that immediately.
That is true. That's 100% certainty. We will get that much at least.
Sean, thank you very much. Appreciate it, sir.
Thanks, guys. My pleasure.
Sean Sullivan. It was his pleasure. He must work at that hotel in Mexico that we were staying at.
I heard that, too.
Yeah,
it's my pleasure.
It's my pleasure.
It's a good way to respond.
All right. You know, did you see the Washington Post had this other story that was rather sort of alarming.
Ooh, what is that?
Although in the context of... There's an explanation for it, like there's everything. But
so the headline was a little shocking, but the story wasn't?
The idea is that within every cabinet-level position, in every one of the, you know, whether it's Health and Human Services or the, you know, Secretary of State, Department of Justice, all that, that there is a political director who works for the White House and reports to the White House who is assigned to be essentially the minder of the executives who are running those departments. So Dr. Ben Carson at HHS is housing for him at the, you know, at HUD. He's going to have a guy who sits in with him at all times and make sure that he's doing what the president's asking him to do.
That seems strange or unusual, but I'm not sure that
it is. It is. It is, according to the Washington Post, it is not done regularly. There are defenders coming out and saying, well, the reason is because it's a transition. When you have transitions of power like this and you have a lot of holdovers who are career civil servants around and there's such a change here, they just want to make sure that there isn't a slide away from the president's agenda here. But the Washington Post story alludes to the discomfort of the secretaries themselves who feel like they're getting spied on by the White House.
That's comforting.
So there's that. So that happened too. And I just want to point out that today is the 60th day that that Donald Trump has been president of the United States. We're only 60% of the way to the 100 days. You know, remember the 100 days that go back real fast? Not in this case.
It's been extremely eventful every day. Even Saturdays and Sundays, as it turns out.
Yeah.
Lots of news coming out.
And we got to, and you know, we have to have congressional hearings. We're doing investigations. There's, I mean, we're 60 days in.
You didn't think the FBI would have announcements now, but.
You know, if the president could have one thing back right now, it would be that tweet.
Oh, sure.
It would be that tweet about the wiretapping, because he has because he's now created a hornet's nest of problems for himself, and he's got a lot of stuff to do. He's got things he's got to do, but he won't ever admit that he made a mistake. And in this case, he made a mistake. Now, speaking thereof, here's Violetta Podramatic with the WGN Turf Trouble Spots, and let's hope that they're all accurate.